When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Let's go around the NFL in the Loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, we're about to go quick.
What are we doing?
We're about to go around the NFL. We're about to go around the NFL. We were just talking about favorite gifts and the offensive linemen getting gifts from the quarterbacks and all that such thing. And somebody was talking about how they got an electric guitar for Christmas in 96 when they were in 8th grade. And now they play a whole bunch of instruments, so that means a lot to them.
Let's go out in that garage and play.
Yeah. That's right. And they better... I'm sure that there's a lot of regretted gifts of like, here, we got you a drum set immediately. Problem.
I actually got a drum set when I was a kid.
How many times
I
know you played it?
Hated you. I loved it.
Really?
Parents hated you.
Yeah. Still don't know how to technically play the drums, but
you got a feel for it. Yeah, cut all that noise out. And then when we talked about traditions, the tradition that I should have mentioned is looking for batteries on Christmas morning, because you didn't gotten something that that is battery powered, but you don't got no batteries in the house, and now you're taking the batteries out of the remote and out of the fire, smoke detector.
If I had a nickel. That should be a tradition. Christmas Eve or the 23rd, go buy a bunch of batteries.
Just have some batteries.
Because you're going to need them.
I know, they clean up around that time. I know. Battery makers, they clean up around that time.
Because ain't nothing sicker than, oh, look, I got this RC car. Yeah, we'll go to the store tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. We'll go to the store.
You on Christmas outside looking at everybody else with their gifts.
I got an RC car that I can't use yet.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here. Let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans and you can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from your app store today. They'll take care of that process for you and find the best price on the market. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. We begin with Thursday Night Football, the first iteration of Thursday Night Football where they flexed in, or I guess they flexed the game out, but they flexed in this divisional matchup amongst teams that are likely to be playoff contenders or playoff, participants.
Mm-hmm.
The word contender is fraught, right? But playoff participants in the Broncos and the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. And boy, it delivered.
It was great.
It delivered in a very big way. The Chargers ultimately win 34-27. But early on, man, it looked like it was all Denver Broncos in this. And I was very impressed with, just Bo Nix in general. With both of these guys. Like, it felt like this was one of the few games, or maybe not few games, one of the games where you could actually look up and be like, whoever loses this is going to be very disappointed because they both played very, very good football, which is very, which is an anomaly on Thursday Night Football oftentimes.
They've had a good year Thursday Night Football, first of all.
Early on, it was rough.
But it's been pretty good overall compared to what it normally is on Thursday Night Football. But anyway, the huge implications, too. Huge implications for the Texans. I think the Texans now have a legitimate shot, as we mentioned, about an hour ago. Maybe face the Chargers, and I'd rather face the Chargers in the first round. But beyond that, just a terrific game. you saw why Herbert is special with a couple of his throws, including the touchdown throw, which was just ridiculous.
Yeah, when the Chargers started raging back into this game, you could see Justin Herbert in particular, but the rest of this team really just kicking into a different gear. The guy, Ladd McConkey, one of my favorite wide receivers, going dating back to when he was at Georgia. Like, you see the connection that those guys have. Gus Edwards broke a crazy long one to ultimately put them ahead for good in this game. And so, yeah, man, this was a fun one. And one of the things that helped crystallize this game was a fair catch situation that brought up a rule that is oft overlooked. It is the fair catch free kick rule. So I think we all think that what happens with a fair catch is when in a punt or kickoff situations, you catch the football, mm-hmm. and then they just put the ball, or at least in a punt situation, they just put the ball where you caught it. Or in a kickoff situation, you fair catch it and it goes to the 35 or what have you. But apparently in the rule book, and this is a rule that, again, we don't think about very often, it's actually a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity to kick a field goal from a kickoff formation in those circumstances. And this rule apparently pops up like every, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. The last time that one of these was attempted was October of 2019. The time before that was September of 2013. 08, a couple times in 08, oddly enough. And the last time it was successful was 1976.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, first of all, it had to be Jim Harbaugh's team, right? Like, it had to be. Like, he was, after the game, he was like, I've been looking forward to this. I've been so excited about it.
Actually, let me give you the audio, because, of course, as you mentioned, only a weirdo, and I say that affectionately,
he was
right?
so looking forward to it.
Only a weirdo like Jim Harbaugh, mm-hmm. rather, could have done this. And this was him talking about it after the game. You can hear just how excited he was about it.
First one we've made. We tried one with the 49ers. I think it was like a 70-yarder or something. 71, thanks. Yeah, Mr. Dawson, probably a little. I wanted it so bad that I tried a 71-yarder, but it is my favorite rule.
His favorite rule.
It's my favorite rule. I didn't know anybody had a favorite rule, but of course Jim Harbaugh does.
That immediately made me start thinking about what my favorite rule is.
Me too. Like,
I'm not going to do that. I just confessed. Was it earlier this week that I have a favorite penalty? So I don't know. I'm too much of a dork.
You are. But that's neither here nor there.
Touche.
I guarantee you, most players on the field didn't have any idea what was going on. Like, even though they practiced it, they're like, wait, we're going to do that thing that we've done, twice a week for the last 7 years? They probably had to be told where to line up, how it worked. And
now, what is this? What do we got to do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is there any chance you remember this next time it comes around? Because, I mean,
I remembered it last night.
Okay, you did? Because I didn't.
But it jogged my memory. I mean, I could have gone the rest of my life and not realize that was a rule. But when they did, I was like, oh, yeah, that is a rule. And a little Ray Wershing trivia for you. That I always liked the kicker that made the last one.
In 1976?
76. Did you know? He actually won 2 Super Bowls with the Niners. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, all that stuff. Or at least one. I know he won one because he had like 4 field goals in that game. But that's neither here nor there. He never looked at anything but the holder whenever he kicked field goals. He never lined it up. You know how they do now? They with their arm and they do the pointing thing.
Yeah.
And then they look and they get the wind gauge and all this other. All he would do is jog on the field, look at Joe Montana, who was his holder, and Montana would kind of like you do with a golf shot. You don't look at the hole. You look at the spot right in front of you. You know? He never looked at the goalpost. And he was one of the greatest. He played for like 15 years.
Okay. That's crazy.
Once, ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Now, of course, I do wonder if he would have been able to make it in this era where it feels like we are unreasonably.
They do the whole thing with the arm.
But also, the expectations on kickers are crazy now.
He was damn good.
Right? Like, I think that we've gotten to that place where, I think good in that time was different than good in this time. Because, I mean, even with that play, that is a 57-yard field goal. Yeah. Right? And what it makes it easier not having the line in front of you and not having that timing issue.
As long as you want.
Right? You can take as long as you want. You can have the right angle, right? Because mm-hmm. part of the.
You can kick it low?
Exactly. Part of the difficulty of a long kick is that. These kickers have the leg to drive it, but you can't drive it on that low angle if you have, dudes that are going to jump up and knock it down in front of you. You can do that with this, this free kick, this fair catch free kick, which Cameron Dicker did. But also, he kicked that through with ease. And again, there was a point in time where a 57-yard field goal was an asinine thing to throw out there. Mm-hmm. Now you got a dude who does that, and we're all like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Now I want to see more of them.
You're sick. The first time you see a free kick go against your
team. That's awesome.
And it goes through against your team? No.
Oh, well, I'm, for sure. But, yeah, I'm but sick. The other thing I was thinking about, you know, Frank Ross was ticked. He wanted it.
Yeah.
He's about as nerdy as Jim Harbaugh when it comes to this stuff.
That is fair. He absolutely is. You know that the Texans have been involved in one of these.
I do not recall. Maybe that's why I jogged my memory.
Over October 9th, 2005, Rob Baronis attempted one of these.
Okay, maybe that's why.
In a Texans Titans
game. It rang a bell. I don't remember it exactly, no.
Somebody said, what is the rule? Again, for your edification, it is the fair catch, free kick rule. When you fair catch, you have the opportunity to do what we typically think of with a fair catch, which is take the football from that place, at least on a punt. But you also have the opportunity to fair catch it, and then from that spot, kick a field goal
untimed.
I mean, in a kickoff formation. So it's a kickoff formation, but you're kicking a field goal.
You could do this from a punt, if you fair catch a punt.
Yeah, and anywhere on the field, like you said, like Harbaugh said, he tried a 71 yarder one.
He sure did, and that was a little bit too much chip on your dip on that.
It's a little bit. I guess you wouldn't do this in a close game, like towards the end.
Oh, for sure.
No,
you would.
I'm saying,
like, in a close game,
it has to be very specific circumstances. Yeah. Like in this instance, it was a fair catch, but then there was a penalty that was tacked on because the receiver was ran into by the kicking team, and so that created a circumstance where you were close enough to knock one down.
Yeah, I was thinking because, like, I feel like teams wouldn't probably do this because they trying it'd probably be a lot of time left, first of all.
Yeah.
And they'll probably try to run that time down as much as they can, so I don't think they'd just settle for a field goal right there, right off the bat.
It's all situational. Like, this is the type of rule that's supposed to be once in every few years anyways. Of course, it's Jim Harbaugh who was giddy at the opportunity to drop that out.
That's
there.
Actually pretty smart, because some people wouldn't do it. They'd just take it to the game, take it to the house or whatever. They wouldn't.
And Harbaugh would be yelling at his TV.
What are you doing?
And those 3 points felt like they were
kind of going.
Like, it definitely got them going. Yeah. It was able to, late in the game, they were able to use a little bit of the distance that they had point wise to make this game, put this game out of reach for the Denver Broncos. So shout out to the Chargers. They both are tied at 9-6 now. So yeah, that race at the bottom of the AFC playoff wild card situation there.
I didn't realize the Broncos had the better record.
Man.
That's crazy.
And that defense has to be really, really tough. Like, that defense continues to be really good. And I think that was why it was kind of interesting to see the Chargers go up and down on them late in that game after it was like 21-10. The Broncos were really stifling that Chargers offense early. All right, some other things around the NFL. This is an interesting thing that happened with the team that you played last week, the Miami Dolphins. Apparently, we got reporting this week that the Dolphins could possibly release Calais Campbell if and maybe when they get eliminated from the playoffs. Now, they have a 7% chance of making the playoffs at this point. I think they're ninth in the AFC kind of standings right now, which... It's getting slimmer and slimmer, the margins or the opportunities for them to make the playoffs. Calais Campbell is a longtime veteran in this league. If I remember correctly, he's like in his late 30s. And, I mean, just a great guy, but he's never won a Super Bowl. And so they might release him to have the opportunity to go and sign somewhere and then get into the playoffs and possibly try and chase a ring. Do you like this?
I do. I think that's fine. I think it keeps the game even more interesting. It makes people... really have to change not only themselves, but people looking at their odds change, et cetera. I get that, hey, what are you doing? It's kind of like when, your girlfriend trades you a team at the fantasy trade deadline because she's out of the playoffs and you have a chance. And so it's like a wink-wink kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I like it. It makes it more interesting. They thought about trading him.
Right.
Before the deadline.
But, I mean, they were still pushing. They were still pushing for the playoffs. I like it for Calais Campbell himself, like one of the cosmic good dudes in the league. It is going to be deeply frustrating when he goes and like signs with like the Chiefs or something, or Detroit is really the team because they lose Lee McNeil. Mm-hmm. They need that kind of defensive line presence.
I think that's exactly what they're talking
about. That's probably exactly where he ends up. Yeah. Probably when the Dolphins are eliminated. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that there's other teams that are like, oh, look, there is a dent in the armor of the Detroit Lions. Here comes the friendly giant that is Calais Campbell. to help this team because he is ring chasing. So I think that's cool for him, but it does make me wonder, hey man, don't make this a habit of kind of circumventing the structures that are put in place here in football. Some other things before we go, I think we mentioned this in passing yesterday, but there's been some serious circumstances. We thought that David Montgomery would end up having to have season-ending surgery, and it seems like there's been they've done enough, you know, asking around enough second and third opinions.
Yeah,
that it seems like he's going to be able to, you know, go without the surgery and maybe be available later on in the playoffs for that team. So like if they can have all of these things come together, if Calais Campbell can maybe join and help, you know, strengthen that defense that really does depend on having maybe some double teams up front against the defensive line, and then they can get Montgomery back to get back that tandem that they have running football later on, they might still have a little bit of a possibility of really contending for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the third opinion was Dan Campbell's. I think anytime this happens, I'm always a little skeptical. Because when they say, you know, surgery seems to be the option, seems to be the most likely thing, and then all of a sudden they go, I think I'm going to rehab, I'm always a little skeptical of that because that's asking a lot. I don't know if we'll get the same David Montgomery that we've seen in the past, but at this point, I mean, it's their run. It's his body, and he's going to make the decision. But if they get anything out of him, I guess it would be better than nothing.
Yeah. All right. So you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL right here. Coming up next, Let's hear from some of the other parties in the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's hear from some of them as we get ready for that big time matchup between these two teams on Saturday. We'll do it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I got caught off by the Christmas music. You know what I forgot, though? I think I've talked about how, like, I don't have, like, a ranking of Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered, oh, I have a Christmas playlist that I just never think about. And I dropped that in. And so I have also jumped into, like, the Christmas spirit all the way around.
Of course.
We'll see if the Astros are going to be in a Christmas spirit move. As Chandler Rome is tweeting about a potential gift that they might have. Astros and free agent first baseman Christian Walker are in serious talks progressing towards a deal, according to him and Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. So, hey, that's going to be something to watch.
Sure.
We might talk about that a little bit more and what's popping. But we are moving and we are careening very close. I keep using that word, and I always feel weird.
Careen has a bad connotation.
It does, because like it almost feels like you're moving towards the accident. Yeah. Sort of, but we're on a path.
Forging forward. Forging toward. Something better than careening. Careening sounds like you're...
I didn't even know what the hell that meant. I ain't gonna lie to y'all.
I keep trying not to use the word in this.
A better word than careening towards Saturday. 713-572-4610. And we're the word people,
I guess. Is that gonna be the sub heading of our show is the word people?
The word people.
But
the smart show.
Oh god.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true.
I think Seth and Sean will have something to say about that.
Yeah, using words that are not super, I guess, common or whatever.
The grammar geeks.
Like, that's doesn't make you
smart. If you throw Seth Payne on this show, man, it's going to be a lot of measuring around here, man. All type of big words.
That is true. Seth Duke uses him, but he uses them better. Like, he throws them in nice and easy. Speaking of words, let's get some words from Kansas City Chiefs folks, as that is the opponent in this one. Let's kind of get some perspective there. And I kind of want to start with the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, because one of the things that popped up was the idea of one Marquise Hollywood Brown possibly returning for the first time in the regular season for this team. I know that he had gotten injured for the Chiefs in training camp. And so, Andy Reid, will Hollywood Brown actually be ready for this week?
Yeah, there's a good chance on that.
How's Hollywood looked? I mean, he's done
a nice job. I mentioned earlier just about it wasn't his leg, so he's been able to run, keep himself in running shape. But the rest of it, where the surgery wasn't that, it looked good. He was doing fine, yeah.
Barreling.
Okay, this is just going to be...
It just hit me.
Somebody said veering towards...
Barreling, that
trudging
sounds good.
Toward, trudging sounds like we're laboring
trudging
towards...
Trudging is hard. Barreling, like you're barreling, like you're good. Head down, you know, running hard, barreling toward that game.
That's, okay. I feel like you're
Chris
Berman.
Why
don't
we just say headed towards the game? Yeah,
that's too easy.
Let's keep it simple.
That feels like Chris Berman, bumbling, stumbling towards the football game. No, I find this to be a very interesting part of this game. The return of Marquise Brown to the Kansas City Chiefs, because that's one of the things that this team, we know for the last few years that they've really looked forward to is a wide receiving threat. And obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is one of those, but DeAndre Hopkins is a particular type of threat. He is the, I guess, I don't know, I always view it as he's always open, right? Even if he's not. He is, if there's dudes on him. In fact, the first game that he played when he made his way from Tennessee to Kansas City was just, he was in triple coverage, and they threw that thing up there, and he came down with it. As we've seen many a times when he was wearing the battle red, and he was wearing the deep steel blue here in Houston. That is one type of guy. I think the other type of guy is something that Xavier Worthy was drafted to kind of give them some semblance of, and then also that clearly Marquise Brown was brought in, which is a guy that has the speed that can get Patrick Mahomes back to kind of that deep threat that we saw before. Teams kind of put that too high safety over top, that too high shell over him all the time, and then also that you could tell that they want to get back to. And especially this year, Patrick Mahomes has wanted to kind of throw the ball deep, almost somewhat recklessly, and I think that that's going to be an interesting thing, because what is something that we've talked about with this Texans defense a lot, at least prior to the last few weeks when it feels like they've really locked in on a different level.
Well, that secondary, man.
Those explosive plays. So this is going to be a very interesting part for me in this game, is seeing how much, you know, with the clear want and desire that that Kansas City Chiefs offense has to try and get the ball downfield, and adding a player who you imagine should be able to address that. How much are they going to try and test the safeties and Kalen Bullock and Eric Murray, and then how much obviously Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter? What are those challenges that they're going to put up, and then how does this defense respond to it? Does it look like the turnover defense that this team has really leaned heavily into of late, which I imagine yes, or is there a possibility that some of those explosives that we saw teams not connect on could possibly happen in this one?
Well, and I think, you know, as much as the Chiefs have not been an overwhelming offense, I was mentioning earlier, they've scored 429 points all year. The Texans have scored 428. They only have 1 point more, which is kind of a weird quirk. But they are entering this game, Reggie, with a lot more weapons than they've had of late. You mentioned Hopkins and Brown, Xavier Worthy. They're pretty healthy, you know, at running back. Travis Kelce, of course. They have other tight ends that they're going to be able to use. So they have weapons,
but what's
like
funny,
they haven't had much, you know, this year.
This defense has actually been pretty good against tight ends.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I've always thought that was going to be like the weak spot.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, although I guess Jonnu Smith had his day against this defense. So I guess we could probably, the overall trend isn't always line up with the immediate situation. And here we go. More words coming in. Rushing headlong towards, bull rushing towards some football, crescendoing towards the game tomorrow. I kind of like that one, to be completely honest. But how about this? As we continue hearing from some Kansas City Chiefs on this game, Justin Reid, a man that we're familiar with, he was talking about this Texans offense in a way, and I found this to be interesting. This is Justin Reid talking about Joe Mixon and his ability to not only run, but also be a pass catcher.
Yeah, just to have an awareness of him, just because he does such a good job out of the backfield. I mean, running the ball, he's able to find his cuts, he's patient. And then in the pass game, the screen game, he's able to find some explosive plays. He was doing it in Cincinnati too, so this is a guy who has a track record of it. And it's just about having awareness of where he's at and trying to take away what they want to do.
And that's going to be their, you know, that's what the Chiefs are doing. I mean, they like everybody else at this point, you know, stop Joe Mixon, take your chances everywhere else, especially in must pass situations.
Sure. Yeah. But it was interesting to see in the Miami Dolphins game. Now, it stunk that he had to be the leading receiver yards wise, mm-hmm. but it was interesting to see that the Texans clearly made an effort to get him the football in some space and allow him to do some of that where, mm-hmm. you know, dump it off to him or intentionally kind of get him. Maybe like a screen or something adjacent in the flats and allow him to get some space and do that. That's something that I know Mark Vandermeer has been pounding
we've
the table
all
for and
that
we've all
that. Yeah.
wanted to see some. Do you think that that continues to be a way that this Texas team can maybe find some juice, especially throwing the football, getting the football into a clear playmaker and a difference maker into his hands?
I think it's almost necessity at this point. You know, you don't know. You know what you're getting out of Nico. Dalton, okay, you know, as I mentioned, you know, he's been all right, but the dude still has, in seven fewer games, fewer catches than Stephon Diggs had in eight, so he's been okay, but not exactly what we thought we would get. So that leads to, well, there's a little bit of uncertainty with Mechie, obviously. Tank Dell's kind of, sort of, is playing well. The one you can count on is Joe Mixon. So the one you can count, if you can count on him, you get him the ball any way you can. So I'd say Joe Mixon for sure.
Yeah, I want to see that continue. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want to see them be able to run the football. But one of the things that early on in the season, or maybe not even just early on in the season, but I always think about if you're in a space where you're like, the run game isn't quite where you want it. Mm-hmm. I just always go back to those like late aughts New England Patriots teams where they got to a place where they were like, hey, we're not running the football great, but what we'll do is, We'll just quick pass. Quick passing game will serve as a substitute. And I do wonder if some of that, like where you've seen them try and get the ball to wide receivers and that doesn't always work well. But how about the running backs getting it to them, but just in a different way, mm-hmm. and allowing them to kind of do some of the things that the run game does to a defense. But with, you know, getting the ball out quickly and specifically to someone like Joe Mixon, who, you know, can make some hay. And so I think that was one of the things that was cool about seeing them implement that in the Dolphins game. And I hope that continues forward.
And don't forget Tank Dell. You know, Bobby Slowick this week was talking about how cool it was to get the ball into his hands in special teams. Of course, that's Frank Ross and D'Amico's decision. But what Tank Dell can do in special teams. But clearly Bobby Slowick has been, you know, wanting to find different ways. You know, he's the king of the end around. I think he talked about this week as well. Their biggest, quote, explosive play was on an end around to Tank Dell. Their
15 yards. Yeah,
their only explosive play. So maybe, you know, just space, maybe even screens, you know, just get him in that space, end arounds, et cetera.
Yeah, but the thing about screens is, with this team, I don't know why.
No, it hadn't worked.
Because I had that moment again that I think we've all had this season where you're watching other football games and you're like, oh, wow, look, a screen that the team ran, and it worked. Like, that's incredible. That's how they're supposed to look.
The Dolphins were like, oh, that's how you do it.
Right. that's how screens how work. That. Yeah, so, look, I think that, yes, I would like to see them, but I'd also like to see them work more often. As we continue getting some audio from the other side, from the Kansas City Chiefs, I wanted to hear from Steve Spagnuolo. We were mentioning earlier Charles Menhu, and I think that his reintroduction to this Kansas City Chiefs team over the last couple of weeks has been really big. And I kind of wanted to hear from the man himself about Charles Menhu and how he's impacting games for the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, listen, you guys know how I feel about Charles. It was good to get him back, and it was going to take a little while to kind of amp him up. He's playing a little bit more on first and second down now, which is a good thing for us when they decide to throw it. He's getting better in the run game. That takes a little while. I mean, remember, he steps into this thing with really no padded practices since the Baltimore game, you know, a year ago. So that's taken a little while, but I think he's getting there, and I'm glad we got him, and we just need everybody, you know, everybody up front to kind of play like we did last week to help everybody else on the back end.
And speaking of getting healthy and having more of their weapons, I mean, who's going to be big? He's played, as you just heard, you know, he's out for a long time, but has played three games, gotten progressively better, had a sack in his last game. So I think Omenihu playing first and second down against the Texans, you might see a lot of that because he's known more of as a pass rusher. But the Texans, you know, against all opponents, and you end up seeing them pass a lot earlier on first and second down.
Yeah, well, at least they've started doing that a little bit more to try and keep themselves ahead of the chains.
Yeah.
Which, thank you. Appreciate that. That's helpful. But, yeah, man, I think, and this ties in what we were previously talking about. Some of those things that get the ball out quicker are going to be useful because one of the things that you can look at kind of the remainder of the entirety of the season, you can go, this Chiefs team doesn't generate a lot of pressure, but that's different once you bring in more pass rushers. For mm-hmm. a long time, it felt like it was just Chris Jones, who, yes, bad man, number 95, know where he is. And then George Karloftis, who's kind of been off of that. But they, I mean, you could find third downs where Chris Jones was having to move to the outside because they did not have what they felt was enough credible pass rushing threats in those downs. Charles Manuhu can be that 100%. And so now you have more of those threats on the defensive line where maybe they'll be able to generate more pressure with those four. And don't forget, Spags likes blitzing as well.
Yeah.
And how do you slow down a pass rush that's getting there? I'm not saying that they absolutely will. This is the challenge that is there for the Texans line and this new look. Can you hold up in that way? But also, can you help them out by throwing the ball just over those guys and allowing some of your speedy guys like Tank, like Joe Mixon, like some of these folks to get the ball in space and go. Now, that's a tough ask because there's so many times where we've had these things where, oh, this would be work. This would work. But if you execute it right.
Exactly.
And the problem is.
How many times have they said that?
What's the words that I've been?
Yeah.
There's always something, right? There's always something. And Brandon on the YouTube mentions one of the things. The offense has some tells that spotted that, you know, if the screen or if, you know, something is coming up, defenses seem to be all on top of it. So that is a challenge that exists for the Texans offense, specifically Bobby Slowick, as they move into this one. So, yeah, just a few audio clips that I thought was interesting from the Kansas City Chiefs that really helped set the stage for this game. And I'm really interested to see how this goes.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Shout out to the 936 who said Chandler Rome's tweet about Christian Walker has the word I was looking for. Progressing. We are progressing towards a Houston
barreling.
Texans.
You gotta be aggressive.
All right. Maybe. Barreling towards a Houston Texans matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Edit.
Up there in Kansas City.
Figgy.
And we'll talk more about that Chandler Rome tweet. Let's get into what's popping in H-Town, as it seems like the Astros might be another name that they possibly might add in free agency. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on a Football Friday. We are closing in on game day. Appreciate you guys sending in all these different words to mean that we are moving towards a football game on Saturday at noon. Texans, Chiefs, right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, appreciate somebody on the boss, badass mofo Lady T.
Oh, wow.
On the Twitch.
Okay.
Saying, Reginald looks warm and comfy today. I do, but it's really just because I threw on this Texans AFC South championship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where you get it from?
Shout out to our friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors for hooking us up.
Yeah.
But I threw it on over my hoodie because I had on my hoodie, and it's also an extra large, and typically I wear a little bit smaller than that. I wear a medium on a regular occasion.
Excuse me.
So I just threw this on over top. No, that's not a brag. I want to be able to wear a large. If I was dedicated enough in being in the gym, I would wear a large, but I'm not. And so, like, that really is less of a brag than you think it is.
He said, this large shirt is way too big, man.
I said extra large. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
Sometimes I just forget to eat.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
But that's pretty sweet. And, you know, we talked about it before. It feels a little different. Not like a B.O.B. back-to-back. It feels a little bit better. First two years with D'Amico.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
Right now, it doesn't.
Where's the drive going to be today for Football Friday? You know what? I got you on that. Here, hang out through What's Poppin'. I'll get that on the backside because I got to do a little searching through my phone. What I don't have to do a lot of searching for is this report that came out from Chandler Rome like minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 20 minutes ago. And that is that the Astros and free agent first baseman Christian Walker are in serious talks and progressing towards a deal, sources tell Ken Rosenthal and Chandler Rome of The Athletic. So, man, I mean, a guy that I think had been linked heavily to the Yankees to play first base, Christian Walker, played on the Arizona Diamondbacks, went to the World Series in 2023. He is up there. Like, this would be his age 34 season, so he's got plenty of experience. I like this as a potential move.
I think it'd be huge for the Astros because
three-time Gold Glover,
three straight
yes.
Gold Gloves, and so not only that. Okay, I know the immediate inclination is what? Wait, he's going to be 34? Oh, boy, another Abreu on the no. He has been Mr. Consistency the last 3 or 4 years.
Over 800 OPS the last 3 years.
Yeah.
This last year was the lowest of his last three, but 84 RBI, 26 bombs.
Yeah, he's shown no signs of any sort of drop-off or anything like that. I think it'd be great, and plus, I mean, the obvious thing is, I mean, that would be an absolute lock. That's a wrap on Alex Bregman being an Astro.
He's gone. And that's immediately what I thought, because I know with the Nolan Arenado no trade clause situation, there was all this reporting that, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean that deal is done.
Well, it wouldn't still here. Pushing. It would here.
You feel like that would be full.
Got your third baseman and your first baseman.
With Paredes and Walker on the corners.
But that's okay. I mean, you just kind of come to grips with that. Maybe you don't like it. But boy, talk about a good backup plan if the Astros could. I mean, you could easily say they're still fighting. There's still something there, you know, that could maybe get them into the hunt again, because those are good two good corner players right there.
And both of them good defenders as well. So you solidify the your infield defense, which I know was something that was of concern. Like, this would represent in some ways them walking the walk, especially if you're not willing to actually shell out the money, which, again, you can knock this organization for if you want to. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking that away from you. But this would represent them talking, like, really walking out the idea that, no, we still want to have some level of contention. We still want to be some level of good.
Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting grab to get. Somebody on the text line said, make that happen and then grab Santander in the outfield and then go to work.
Yeah, and the other thing with him at his age, it's not gonna be anything more than like a 4-year contract.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
You can do that. I think reportedly 4 years is about what has been on the table for him. So $22 million a year for 4 years. That's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Astros.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing that we'll keep watching. Not saying that that'll get done, but the outfielder positions definitely need upgrades. You're right, 8-3-2. But it seems like now that things are moving for this Astros team, they're addressing issues down the line, which that is absolutely needed as you get ready for the next season. Some other things that are popping. Apparently, this just came down the pike not too long ago as well. The Texans are signing tight end Irv Smith to their active roster today ahead of the game tomorrow. So he, you know, this will give him an opportunity to, you know, continue playing. I know that he was on the practice squad, and it'll keep him from possibly being poached.
Because
that's one thing about when somebody's on the practice squad. He's the best blocking tight end that you have.
I'll take it a step further, because I kind of, you know, I thought about this and was a little bit surprised. But the more you think about it, he's right. Clint was saying the other day, he's the best overall tight end they have.
And I'd like to see a little bit more before I get to that point. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that I am disagreeing with a former NFL player, especially one who played offense and has that particular eye. But yeah, I'm gonna need a little bit more before I get to that place. But I do like having Irv Smith here. Like, you could see in some of these plays when he is blocking, as it seems like Bobby Slowick wants his tight ends to absolutely be involved in those things. Those things go a lot better. And one of the things, again, that I keep coming back to, especially with run plays with this team, is just it's always something, right? It's always one point of failure somewhere. I feel better when Irv Smith is in there that he won't be that point of failure. Mm-hmm. And if you can minimize those, we can get closer to the idea of maybe you being able to run the football with some level of consistency or some level of regularity. Because that would be very helpful in these moments in the playoffs. Having a run game that you can just throw out there and be like, hey, having I feel blocker, better about the opportunity.
Yeah, even if he is just a blocking tight end. I mean, like I said, Clint thinks he can be more than that. He's better. He's the best overall. But even if he is just a blocker, who cares?
Yeah, that would be very helpful. All right, how about this? The Rockets, they smoke the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 133-113. And it was spurred on. Jalen Green put up some big numbers in this one, scoring wise. I mean, everybody put up some big numbers. That's 133 points. Right. That was a very nice thing to see after a 5-day layoff coming off of that NBA Cup defeat, NBA Cup semifinal defeat to the Thunder, in which the Thunder really limited your offensive output. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see this team get out and score. They knocked down 3-pointers at a high rate, including Dylan Brooks was out here knocking down shots. I believe it was 6 made 3-pointers for him, which tied his career high, if I remember correctly. 6 of 10 was what he shot. And it wasn't just that. He was taking shots with the level of confidence that made me think, who the hell does he think he is?
Well, he's a confident guy.
I hit up B. Scott, and he was like, he kind of playing like he Kobe, like he think he Kobe. And he kind of was. And that was really nice. And I think one of the big things about this game that they pointed to was it allowed Fred VanVleet to play a little bit more off ball, because other guys were scoring and he didn't necessarily have to do as much setting up for everybody.
Yep.
And you can see how that offense really works. One, if you're knocking down shots, right, you're getting some open shots. And then two, if that ball is hopping around as it was early, a lot of assists in this game. And it helps that the Pelicans aren't very good right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, that was a you take it, and it wasn't necessarily an impressive win considering the opponent. You did what you're expected to do.
What, 20 points against that opponent?
But what did I say? If you're going to get well shooting the ball, this is the point in the schedule where you can get well. Two games against the Pelicans. I think they have the Raptors. I think they have someone else with it. Minnesota. No, they have someone else.
Their upcoming games?
Yeah, they have a softer part of schedule. So step one complete. If you're going to get well offensively and knocking down shots and change the habits that you've been having, missing shots, this is the time to do it.
Okay, so the next few opponents, obviously they got New Orleans at home. That was a nice one, 34 points for Jalen Green. They go on the road for a little three-game road trip over the Christmas holiday season. Sunday they'll get Toronto at Scotiabank. I'm going to do this just for your benefit. And then they get Charlotte. Oh, wow, where is Charlotte? What is that called? I actually don't remember that center.
Oh, I shouldn't have used that one.
Yeah, you should have. You should have, because I don't remember what that arena is called.
This is the get well stretch.
But yeah, they get the Charlotte Hornets. That's not a good basketball team either. And then they go to New Orleans.
Spectrum Center.
I should have guessed it, because I was like, I think it's Spectrum, but I don't feel good about that. And then they'll get the New Orleans Pelicans on the day after Christmas.
That's what I'm talking about.
So yeah, I mean, three teams that are, you know, you can get after 100%, and they're going to have the opportunity to do that, give themselves a little bit of time. Also, Reed Shepard got some time, especially in those, I guess, for lack of a better term, garbage minutes to run down the stretch, which is good. And more minutes for that dude, get him more comfortable on the floor, and hopefully, if you up that defense, you can add some more shooting that way as well. Shout out to the 713 who said this. I'm guessing the Christian Walker potential addition feels like an Uncle Mike move. Love it.
Kind of does. Doesn't it?
I can see it. I can see it.
Veteran, does it all the right way, still productive, a professional hitter.
Professional. And we'll see what that brings, and if the Astros do officially sign Christian Walker there. And one more before we go. It is bowl season, and the bowl games this week felt early because they had to accommodate the college football playoff games, first round games that are happening tonight and tomorrow. In fact, Adam Spillane already touched down in Indiana.
We'll get to that.
He is there.
The weather is awful.
Gross. It is disgusting.
Awful.
But I don't got to deal with that. however, right, what that has done is that's pushed some of the bowl games into some, you know, kind of not great geography, at least in the schedule. And but it doesn't matter what the geography is. A win is a win. And that's what happened for the Sam Houston State Bearcats.
How about that? Shout out Brandon Scott, B. Scott. We got a lot of listeners.
That's a lot of people.
Hey, a lot of listeners.
Hell, Colin that was in here a couple days ago.
He went to the game.
Yeah.
He drove from here.
The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
But and totally pulling the curtain back. Reggie goes, I put that on the dock. He goes, what are you talking about? I was like, it's Sam.
Did not watch a lick of this game. And it says nothing about Sam Houston themselves.
Why did you put this on the dock? Hey, man.
I absolutely blame, again, just the schedule. And also, a lot of these bowls have just become TV fodder so that there's something on in these holiday seasons where there's not often a lot of stuff. I just didn't realize it was on. My bad.
I ran circles around you last night because I watched a total of about 8 minutes of this game.
You did.
I did.
You basically watched all of it.
That's a lot for
all of the 31
Wednesday night, December 19th college football game. But
they had an interception return, mind you.
Big plays at the end. I heard. I didn't see those. I saw the ones earlier.
Okay.
But like
31-26 was the victory. In case you wanted the score over Georgia Southern.
You know, Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, alumni. All around Houston. I've covered that game, called it for the radio. It couldn't be happier. This is the one good part. Like, everybody wants to bash on the NIL and transfers and all that. This is the best part of it all. Programs like Sam Houston State can get players that were in other programs, and they've always tried, but now it's a lot easier. They raise a little money. All of a sudden, who would have thought Sam Houston State would win a bowl game? An FBS goal.
Well, hold on. You said this like any bowl game was going to be crazy for them. But I mean,
like this type of bowl game.
Over the last like 6-7 years, like the trajectory has been really good for Sam Houston State. So you absolutely give them their credit. I'm interested to see what they do going forward. Obviously, Casey Keeler moving on. But yeah, this is a good step. And it's one of the reasons why I love bowl season is because you get to have a positive punctuation mark for so many programs that don't have, like, that aren't going to be in the college football playoff landscape and those types of things. And it's not to get on my soapbox, and I will make this very short for all the people that are already rolling their eyes, but it's one of the reasons why I hate how so much of the gravity, so much of the oxygen in the conversation gets pulled towards that, especially as we expand the playoff and we don't get to appreciate the likes of this. And I say this as a person that did not watch the game, so I understand the hypocrisy that happens here, but a game like this that gets to punctuate a 10-3 season for Sam Houston, right? This is part of what college football is. This is a large part of what college football is for a lot of folks, and I hate that we do so much looking at the very tip of the top.
But I think we do appreciate them, just not with the gravity as you talked about as before. And by the way, eat 'em up cats on the text board.
Yeah,
looking like a ticker right now.
Yeah,
we got a lot of listeners.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Sam Houston State getting a bowl victory. The RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl champions.
Where was it played?
In New Orleans.
What was the stadium name?
I don't remember. Where's RNL Carey? Is that one played? Is that played at Tulane Stadium?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. I don't remember where stadium, that actually man. Played. That's probably played at the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Come on, Mr. Stadium man. You got
hey man, look, I'm not infallible. Y'all act like I'm a robot over here. I am not that. But that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Actually, one of the things that's popping as well, it's a football Friday. So the fellas will be Clint Ron out at Twin Peaks. Northwest Freeway.
Perfect.
So there you go.
Get out there.
Yeah, if you want the address specifically, it is 12830 Northwest Freeway in Houston. So get out, go see the fellas, get you something to drink, get you something to eat. I'm sure there will be some prizes to be won, and of course some good Football Friday talk as we head into a Saturday full of football, including Texans, Chiefs, and you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, in fact, we'll talk a little bit more about this. Dan Orlovsky seems to be real concerned about your Texans offensive line. How concerned are you, and is he right to be concerned in the way that he is? We'll do that next.